want to look at the importance of prayer in the light of victory
over the forces of darkness. And we're going to look at this subject from a little bit different perspective this morning. And so we're going to look at three passages of Scripture. And so let's, first of all, turn to Matthew chapter 17. In the context of Matthew chapter 17, of course, is the Lord Jesus and Peter, and the disciples, with inner disciples, were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they came down from the mountain, and the rest of the disciples were trying to help this man whose son was grievously tormented with a demon. And we find, of course, the Bible tells us that Jesus rebuked the devil, verse 18, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus, beginning with verse 20, gives us these words of instruction. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Now, if you take the figure of a mountain from the book of Revelation, you recognize that a mountain in the Bible is often used of the authority of another. And in this case, it is probably referring to the authority of Satan. And instead of a physical mountain, he is using that phrase, as he often uses it, to be the seat of authority. And and so in this context, this boy who was possessed by a demon, he has said, "If you shall say unto this mountain," this seat of authority of the devil over which you have been unable to deal with, "You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place." Remove from here. Get out of here. Go to a different place. Don't come here. "It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Obviously, he's saying that this is not a lay me down to sleep tonight prayer. This is not, Lord Jesus, we invite you to be our guest prayer. You know, it's prayer of spiritual warfare. And so here we find this teaching of the importance of prayer in the spiritual life of the believer, and especially in the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. Now, if you turn with me to Ephesians, we find the battle, the armor of the believer, and it says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Now that is kind of an interesting statement. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a statement of truth, but I'm not sure it's always a statement of reality. What I mean by that is, if you know anything about wrestling, not real wrestling, not TV wrestling, but if you know anything about real wrestling, they say that wrestling is probably one of the most rigorous sports there are, because it requires almost 100% usage of all the muscles of your body. And we have to ask ourselves, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we read what it says, but are we really wrestling? Are we really wrestling? You know what I mean? Are we really wrestling? I mean, are we expending every ounce of our effort in this spiritual battle? I would have to say that in the comforts of life, most of us aren't wrestling very much. But it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What a battle. The Bible has, it says we wrestle against principalities. Now you have to understand that. Principalities. You know, if you go to the principal's office, that's how that word principal is spelled there. It's talking about the head one. And Satan's forces are very highly organized. Principalities. There's divisions. In any army, in any military force, it's highly organized. It's a strategic warfare. And the Bible tells us that Satan has principalities. It has different powers, different authorities. It has rulers of the darkness of this world. The Bible talks about the prince of Persia. The Bible talks about different chief demons. Who are in charge of different districts of the world. And isn't it amazing that some of the most dark places in every state of our country is the capital city? The most liberal community in the whole state of Wisconsin, the most anti-God community is Madison, Wisconsin. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. And it's amazing how you'll find that throughout America, where the laws are made in those places. That's where the greatest battles are, spiritually. You don't see them. Rulers of the darkness of this world. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, well, you know, high places. There's a lot of high places in our country, and the Bible tells us that in wherever there's a high place, there are demonic activity opposing the forces of God and the forces of good and the forces of the gospel. No wonder there's so many terrible laws been written. We're against high places. And, you know, don't forget it. People who are in high places, they get shot at. And I'm talking about spiritually high places. And, you know, there's a big difference between being what you might say a bystander versus doing something for God. And the more you give yourself to do something for God, the more you're going to have spiritual opposition. And as long as you're doing nothing for God, life is fine. You know, you're not going to have much opposition. You're not going to sense a spiritual battle. You might even be oblivious to it. Try to do something for God. Then you'll find out what spiritual warfare is. But now we have the armor of the believer. And now the process I'm bringing you to is, I'll give you a summary here. This is an illustration of the teaching, the unified teaching of the Bible. What Jesus taught in the Gospels is seen in history in the book of Acts. And it is taught as a doctrinal explanation in the epistles. You don't find something in the book of Acts that is different than the Gospels and the different than the epistles. Now, a lot of false teachers, you'll find that they teach something in the book of Acts and they make it say something and they completely ignore what the Gospels say and they go against what the epistles say. And this is a good illustration that all three categories line up. Boom, boom, boom. So we have the teaching of Christ about the satanic battle, Matthew 17. And what was the key? Prayer. Then we find, we read this morning, and we haven't gotten there yet, Acts. What was the key against the satanic battle? Peter was put in prison. Now we're in Ephesians, and we're finding the armor of the believer, and it uses the figure of a soldier who's going to battle and is going to protect themselves in the battle. Not only protect themselves, but they're going to win. And so we have the equipment of the soldier. Now, of course, we aren't going to preach the whole sermon, but we're going to make it takes the whole armor of God. Okay? How many pieces do you have to on to be sure of victory? All. How many pieces do you have to have off to be a sitting duck? One. Okay? And so, this is very important. It says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. You know what? Truth is pretty important. Nowadays, most people don't care about truth. And they just want to have a nice real spiritual experience, but truth doesn't count. It says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, does it count how you live? Does it count how you live? Yeah, it counts how you live. Righteousness. It all works together. The person who is not living right is not standing. That's all there is to it. And they're vulnerable. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, it's pretty simple. In other words, a very important part of the armor is that every day you are seeking to be a witness. The day that you don't take a gospel tract in your pocket or your purse and you are not trying to be a witness for the Lord, that day you don't have the armor on. That day. Some people never witness. That means they don't have the armor on. They have missing that armor, part of the armor, every day. When's the last time you witnessed? When's the last time you left the house of the gospel tract with the aim to witness? It says, taking the shield of faith. Well, that's pretty important. Faith. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The shield of faith. And wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, what an important claiming the promises of God. Actual claiming God's promises, living by the promises in this battle. Weighing your thoughts and putting them into captivity, taking the helmet of salvation, knowing that you're saved. Knowing you're saved. You don't know you're saved? You're vulnerable, aren't you? Boy, that's important. I remember first year Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Every week we went out soul winning. A couple times a week sometimes. And I remember down there, downtown Watertown, Phil and I were out soul winning. And I was witnessing to this fellow, and we had gone through the gospel, and we were right at the point where I was challenging him to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be a Savior. And at that particular point in my life, I was doubting my salvation. And I remember the devil said, "How can you witness to this guy? You don't even know if you're saved yourself." The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Knowing the Bible. Knowing the Bible. Using the Bible. Living by the Bible. Memorizing the Bible. Meditating on the Bible. Having your mind filled with truth. But then, notice verse 18. Praying always. Praying always. Now here's the picture. He had all these parts of the army. He had all the parts. But what are you supposed to do with all the parts? What has to encompass everything? Praying. It's got to encompass everything. Praying is kind of like what makes each part work. Praying always. You know, we can have all the parts of the engine, but you don't have any oil in it. Not going to work, is it? Praying always. That's what it's saying. What a significant truth. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now we find again the key ingredient in spiritual warfare. The key ingredient in spiritual warfare. The key ingredient in the victory. To read. Pray. Jesus said it. Matthew 17, right? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 25, verse 41. Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's what he's talking about. In the spiritual battle. Watch and pray. The key ingredient, prayer. The spiritual battle. Ephesians 6. Key ingredient, prayer. Got all these armors, but hey, key ingredient to all of it. Putting it all together. All covered with prayer. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. There's a great picture there in verse 19. But praying always, that's a pretty important statement. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer. All different kinds of prayer. What are the different kinds of prayer? Well, let's go through the Lord's Prayer. Model prayer. Our Father. all prayer, adoration of God our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed glorifying God, His name being holy. We pray about God's name being holy in our lives. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy will be done. Lord, I submit myself to You. Prayer of adoration. Prayer of submission. Prayer of surrender. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have prayer obedience. Thy will be done. Prayer of obedience. All prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Dependence on God, not on ourselves, for our provision. Forgive us our debts. Confession. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. No bitterness allowed. No bitterness allowed. Forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All prayer. We have all that kind of different kinds of prayer right there. It says you're going to have victory in this battle. All prayer. Every kind of prayer. Not lay me down to sleep prayer. That's it. Lord Jesus, be our guest. May this food be blessed. I don't know. Is that how it goes? But whatever. You know, all prayer. But it says, and supplication. Specific requests. Specific requests. In the Spirit, only okayed by the Holy Spirit. Only okayed by the Holy Spirit. Directed by the Holy Spirit. Not what we want, what God wants. That spiritual battle. And watching thereunto. Watching. Watching in prayer. You know, you can pray without watching. Now, as I was thinking about this morning, I had that in mind. But you know what? Not every day do we have it in mind. Not every day do we have it in mind. Watching. In this spiritual battle. Watching against the forces of evil. And Satan's opposition. Watching. Oh, I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. I'm in a battle. With all perseverance. You know, some days we do better at praying. Some days we don't do well at praying. And roller coaster Christianity doesn't win. Prayer, all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's not just you. It's all of God's people. And for me, he said, that utterance may be given unto me. You know, how would you apply that? Well, I think this is all about the Great Commission. This is about praying for missions. This is about praying for your pastor. You know, that's kind of important prayer. kind of important prayer. You know, the people who want the church to succeed probably pray for their pastor. Because they know he's just a man. And yet, the success of the church depends so much on what God does in the pastor. And Paul said part of the armor of the believer was, and for me. Wow. So we have the teaching of Jesus and the Gospels. Simple. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Say to this mountain, remove hence. If your faith is a grain of a mustard seed, it shall be removed. Now we have the teaching of the epistles, very clear. Exposition, detailed exposition of this prayer life. Importance of prayer in our spiritual life. And we can go to other places, but we're going to settle for here today. But now let's go see in the book of Acts if that's exactly what the disciples did. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John. The second most important disciple, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Boy, it sounds to me like he's heading for right for the top, right? I think that's how it works. You probably heard the story. This man, I believe it was on, Christian was on this plane. And they're going from New York to Los Angeles. And they noticed this woman. Seemed like she was praying a lot. And so this Christian said, went over to this woman and said, are you a Christian? You Christian? And it seems like I see you praying all the flight. And she says, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm a witch. And as we pass over all these different cities, when we pass over the city, I'm praying for Satan to cause the pastors to fall. So he aimed right at the top. I wonder, do you aim at the top or do you pray for the top? Good question, right? Proceeded further to take Peter. Then the days were unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. 16 soldiers were in charge. Now, does that mean 16 at a time, or were there four shifts of four? I'm not sure. But there were 16 soldiers in charge. And this is pretty important, because if you were in charge of a prisoner, and we see the text, if you let your prisoner get out of jail, you will get the sentence that they were going to get. And so, verse 5 says, therefore, Peter was kept in prison. And the disciples organized a political action group. And the disciples very quickly put together a petition for the signatures of many Christians as possible to petition Herod for the life of Peter.
Another group of Christians organized a march, a protest, outside the prison. Another man hired George Soros to try some uprising. That he would fund it. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison but prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Spiritual battle. Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, and the darkness of this world. It's real. Satan's stronghold, Herod himself, Jesus said, if he has faith as a grain of a mustard seed, he'll say to this mountain, remove from hence. Apostle Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer. You know, I think our lack of prayer is really in our substitute of other things. And I'm not against standing behind the right political candidates. But the real question is what do we believe about what God said? And prayer was made. The first resource of the believer. The first response. You know, they have the first responders. The first response. The primary weapon, right? The big one. Prayer. You know what? That's exactly what Jesus taught. The disciples did exactly what Jesus taught. Does that surprise you? Shouldn't. And in the epistles, it's explained in further detail all about it, but it's the same message. Not three different messages, one message. Prayer was made. We have a great battle. Peter is going to be put to death. In just a few hours, Peter is going to be put to death. About as high up as you can get. Who is the preacher at Pentecost? Peter. Who went to the temple and healed the lame man? Peter. Who was before the Sadducees and Pharisees? They said, don't preach. And he stood up and says, we will obey God rather than man. Who is it that prayed? God, give us boldness. They've threatened our lives. Peter! Who was it? They went to Joppa and spoke to Cornelius. First Gentile was converted. Peter, who went to Samaria after the Samaritans believed and laid their hands on him and they received the Holy Spirit. Peter! He's in jail.
just a few hours, going to be dead. This is pretty important. It was meant to be a crippling blow to the leadership of the people of God. But the church did exactly what Jesus said. They followed his instruction to the T. They gathered for prayer. Now, it wasn't just, a one-time prayer meeting. It says the prayer was made without ceasing. I think there was a little bit of fervency there. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer. And so, here was the church. You know what didn't say part of the church? Didn't say part of the church. Said the church. Is there a difference? I think there's a big difference. If there's a prayer meeting, the need is great. Better be there. That's God's instruction. He didn't say it was an option, did he? This is the instruction. This is what you do. And so they did it. They did what he said. The church. There's unity. You know, that's where the church is powerful. But the unity, remember, any part of the armor that's off is going to be shown in the praying part. Any part of the armor that's off, the praying part is going to be affected, probably isn't going to be there. If you don't have your loins girt about with truth, you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness, you're not living right, you don't care about holiness, don't think about godliness, you're not trying to win souls to Christ, you aren't going to be at prayer meeting. Why? You see what I mean? Prayer is kind of the whole thing. Culminating spot. Unity of the church. But notice, without ceasing, perseverance. The Lord spoke to me about that and says, you know what? Remember when you used to have a minute of prayer 15 minutes before the service? We gather together, we have prayer. Because we realize that everything that takes place is because only God can do it. Perseverance. You know, it's great to pray when everything's going well. Actually, when things aren't going well, that's when you better pray. Oh, with perseverance. You know, we're so emotional. We're so fickle. We get a burden and we pray a little bit and then we get emotionally satisfied and then we stop praying. You know, it's almost like the person who has a problem, and rather than going to the person that they have a problem with, they go tell their friend. And they tell their friend about this problem that they have with this other person. And they can't solve one thing by talking to this other person and gossiping about it. But you know, they, by telling it to someone else, they, after it's over, they say, oh, I feel a lot better now. they feel better because their emotions were relieved by their gossip. They didn't do what God said. They didn't obey the Bible. But their emotions were satisfied. Without ceasing. No, it says praying with supplication in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit doesn't say, okay, stop now. We can take a break. But notice, faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. You know what? They must have had a faith as a grain of mustard seed because they were surprised when God answered the prayer. I don't know how surprised they were. Maybe they didn't know if God was going to answer it that way. But that should be encouraging to us. That the faith is a grain of mustard seed. So there's great ingredients. The church praying. You know what? Maybe we can't get the whole church praying. Maybe we're not spiritually ready for the church to pray, but you know what? There's power in unity. You got a child that's not where they ought to be with God. You know what you need to do? Mom and Dad need to get together and pray. I'm amazed at how few times husbands and wives, that many times we really get serious about praying together. Unity in prayer. You know, there's all sorts of people that can get together in prayer and really mean it. There's a group of young men. There's a group of young men. Man, you could be united in prayer, amen? Yeah, wow. Power in prayer. Men of the church. Praying, really praying. Isn't that what Jesus said? You know what he said? He said, this kind cometh out. If you put it in the positive, it says, this kind cometh out by prayer and fasting. If you put it in the way it was written, it said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. But what was he saying? He was saying the negative, it always teaches the positive. This kind does come out by prayer and fasting. We're in a battle, but where the victory is in prayer. And here's the victory. Isn't that great? So the angel comes to Peter, you know, pokes him in the side. Wake up! Wouldn't you like to see that? Maybe we'll see it up in heaven. Maybe they'll rehearse it. Poked him in the side. Get up! Peter, you know, he didn't know if it was a dream or what. Get up! It says he smote him. You know? You have to ever shake somebody, they're sleeping so good. Would you be sleeping that well? If you're going to die the next morning? Huh? I think Peter had faith too. I think Peter was trusting God. How else can you sleep that well? With a chain on both arms. Maybe it was on the leg. I don't know. Chained to soldiers. And sleeping that the angel had to shake them. To get him up. Get up. Rise up quickly. Get up right now. You ever dealing with your kids? And the chains, there it is. Chains fell off his hands. Wow. And the angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. We could do it now because his hands were free. And he did it. And he said to him, cast thy garment upon thee, put your coat on, follow me. Everywhere they went. Boom. 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 No keys necessary. Everything opened up. The Bible says they got out to the street. The angel left him, and it says, verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, you know what? Hey, this isn't a dream. This really happened. You know, he's probably still a little groggy. Hey, this isn't a dream. Wow. Our God is still alive. Now put it in the context. How serious were those Christians? How serious was that church? How committed were they to the gospel? How important was Peter to the work? The Bible says they were gathered together with one accord. They had their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That church was committed to getting out the gospel. This is serious stuff. You know, we like miracles, but we don't necessarily like the context. We forget about the context. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, what about this church? What about this church? Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and fellowship, the partnership of the gospel, and breaking of bread, and worship, and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. They were in the fear of God. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. And they had all things common. Why? For the cause of the gospel. Boy, their prayers were powerful. Now we can be talking about two things here. Man, I'd like to see prayer answered like that. Well, their life was on the line. They had surrendered their life to the gospel. That was the context, wasn't it? Life or death. They were in it for the gospel. They were in it for the gospel. And in it for the gospel, they obeyed the Savior. When the devil attacks, say to this mountain, remove from hence, and it'll be moved. If you have this faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Prayer. We've heard so much about prayer. It had become so commonplace. That we really have lost. Many times we lose the sense of the importance of prayer. And the God who answers prayer. And the effectiveness of being people of prayer. I wonder what would happen in Washington, D.C. if all of God's people really prayed. What do you think would happen? What about your life? The devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, when I see that picture, I do know that in the context we're talking about today, the devil's aiming at the top. But I also know in life, the lion preys on the weak. He preys on the weak. So wherever you are, we're in a spiritual battle. You know, there's a great wrestler, I close with this illustration, by the name of Danny Gable. I think he's still alive. Danny Gable won national championship in NCAA 3 years in a row. Freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, his senior year, I think he broke his ankle, something like that. And so he's recovering from a very serious injury, and his body, that part of his body was very weak. He knew that all his opponents would be going after his ankle. He knew that was his weakest point. And so, Danny Gable, being the great wrestler, strategic man that he was, he wanted to win. And he changed everything about his wrestling to protect his weakest point. He changed all his moves, everything he did, changed it to protect his weakest point. That's quite a task if you won three national championships, number one wrestler in America, and you're going to change everything around. Because most of it, after a while, becomes just rote. Well, that's what he did. He changed all his wrestling moves, all his approach, everything, to guard his weakest point. And he won the fourth national championship. How much do we want to win in our spiritual battle? The Bible has a guarantee of winning the match. Not only winning the match, but defeating the foe. Accomplishing great things for God. Continuing on. It's as simple as something that is so childlike, it's unbelievable. But yet, it takes more work. It takes more effort. It takes more humility. It takes more of anything we have than we've ever had to expend before. But, you know, we're in America. Life is easy. And we don't like to work hard. Especially when we're fighting an invisible foe that we really don't see very well. We have a great picture of how great, how quickly, how wonderful, how miraculous God's deliverance can be. If our number one resource is prayer. How would God want you to put this into practice? How would God want you to put this into practice? Do we pray like we're in a spiritual battle? Do we pray specifically in light of the spiritual battle that we are in? Do we pray specifically, pointedly, perseveringly, in faith for the victory? Obviously, all those are included if we're going to see the victory. What would God have you to do? Ask God, show you what you could do, how you could make a difference. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for a simple truth that is so clear, yet is so profoundly spiritual. And now, Lord, we pray, as people of God, we would be brought to reality, maybe to repentance. Lord, to resolve to a place of what should I do? I pray that you would lead the people of God. For those who perhaps even skip prayer meeting on Wednesday night, they don't pray, they go home. Maybe you would speak to us about our family. Our family's praying for God's blessing. Maybe you'd speak to many about praying for their pastors. Maybe you'd speak, Lord, about men's prayer meeting. Maybe you'd speak, Lord, about our daily prayer life. Maybe, Lord, our different ministries, as groups we would pray together more earnestly. Maybe it's the university ministry. Maybe it's the daycare ministry. Maybe it's the academy. Whatever it is, lead your people even now. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.